You're listening to Comedy Central.
June 14th, 2018. From Comedy Central's World News headquarters in New York, this is The Daily Show with Trevor Noah, Ears Edition.
Guest from Marvel's Luke Cage on Netflix, Mike Coulter is here, everybody! So excited for that, but first, let's catch up on today's headlines. If you like having one person in history you know you can always admire, I suggest turning off your TV now.
Private journals kept by Albert Einstein during his trips to Asia in the 1920s have revealed that the brilliant theoretical physicist and humanitarian held views that by today's standards many now regard as racist. During his travels through China in the 1920s, he describes the Chinese as industrious, filthy, obtuse people. He writes that Chinese don't sit on benches while eating but squat like Europeans do when they relieve themselves out in the leafy woods. And that it would be a pity if these Chinese supplant all other races. For the likes of us, the mere thought is unspeakably dreary.
Nice going, Einstein. Really? Digging up Einstein's journals and he had some racist stuff in there? And look, I know a lot of Westerners in the 1920s hated the Chinese, but if there's one person who should have predicted that in the future this would come back to bite him, it's Albert Einstein! You're the one person who should have known this! You should be like, you see, if you bend space and time, you'll realize that, oh, I done f***ed up. I do think it's funny how he throws a compliment in there when he's like, industrious, filthy, obtuse people. It's like someone said, those sexy, lazy Moroccans. Moroccans would be like, screw you? But I'm really disappointed that Einstein said these derogatory things about Chinese people, because now we've got to cancel him. It's as simple as that. So, like, R. Kelly, I'm not listening to your music. Paula Deen, I'm not eating your food. And Einstein, I'm never citing your theory of relativity ever again. Yeah, which is too bad, because I totally understand it, all of it. I'm just never going to tell anyone. And this all looks bad, but, like, to be fair, I bet all old scientists have something problematic hidden away, you know? Galileo was probably using his telescope like, what are those filthy Turks up to now? Newton's third law was Irish need not apply. And then, of course, there was this.
Those stupid Mexicans are stealing my mail.
Shameful. Shameful. Well, let's move on from the smartest man the world has ever known to Don Jr. Today is his dad's birthday, and he celebrated in the most normal way possible.
Don, your dad's birthday is today, 70.
It is.
What's your message for him?
Well, hopefully he's watching. I imagine he is. But happy birthday, Dad. I love you very much. We love you, and I look forward to seeing you soon, because I don't get to see him that much anymore.
This is so sad. You realize Trump's son knows the only way his father will see him is if he goes on Fox and Friends. And you know what's funny? You know what's funny is the president's gonna see Don Jr. on TV saying, happy birthday, Dad. And because he saw it on Fox, it's only a matter of time before he tweets, happy birthday, Dad! Real news. Although, I'm not gonna lie, I sort of like this idea of Trump's family going to Fox and Friends to communicate with the president, you know? Yeah, next time Melania should come on and just be like, Donald, please stop leaving the toilet seat up. Back to you, Steve Doocy. All right, let's move on to our main story. The 2018 FIFA World Cup officially kicked off today in Russia. And look, I know for most Americans the World Cup isn't important. You know, it ranks somewhere between a mid-season WNBA game and the Nathan's hot dog eating contest. But for the rest of the world, this tournament is as big as it gets. Because it's not just about the sport. It's a chance for the host country to rebrand itself. And if there's one country that could use some good publicity, it's Russia.
The month-long competition is expected to bring more than 1 million people to Russia and attract more than 3 billion television viewers worldwide.
A global sporting event of this scale is the perfect stage for a host nation to promote itself to the world, to boost its image.
Vladimir Putin is desperate for the world to see only the positive images coming out of his country.
You can get to know Russia, a unique country with a long history and a rich culture. Not bad, not bad at all.
Not bad at all. Not bad. Yeah, I'm not gonna lie, I like this new hospitable side of Putin, you know? Yeah, he's like if the Trivago guy had a history of shooting down airplanes, you know? Yeah, it's a cool mix. But I understand why Putin is so excited for Russia to be hosting the World Cup. Because you see, as a South African, I saw how hosting the tournament gave our country an opportunity to change our image, right? Before the World Cup, when people thought South Africa, they thought crime, AIDS, racism. But then, thanks to the World Cup, now when you think of South Africa, you think of this. You see? No more racism. Huh? Yeah. And by the way, before you judge us, we may blow vuvuzelas, but you guys elected one. So chill, all right? Yeah. How about you chill? Just chill. Chill. And now, to most people, Vladimir Putin is already beyond redemption. He annexed Crimea, he meddled in the US elections, and worst of all, he bit Beyonce and framed Sanaa Lathan. But that doesn't mean that Russia won't give an image rehab its best shots.
Russia's singing grannies are on a mission to give Russia a friendlier face for the World Cup. These bubbly babushkas have penned a World Cup anthem and produced a pop video to go with it. The message to foreign football fans, you have nothing to fear from Russia. I won't scare you, Anna says. I'll hug you, I'll kiss you, I'll sing and dance for you.
Okay, now I'm scared. A little turned on, but mostly scared. Yeah, because it feels like these super friendly Russian grannies are trying a little too hard. You know, like the nicer they are to me, the more worried I am that it's all a trap and she's just gonna push me in an oven at the end. And those human nesting dolls may have seemed a little over-enthusiastic, but at least they know how to be basically friendly. Because apparently the rest of Russia has to take classes.
Russians will even smile at you. Ahead of the World Cup, train conductors here have been taught to forget the frowns and give foreigners big, shiny smiles to match the big, shiny new stadiums.
I don't know, man. I feel like the only thing worse than a non-smiling Russian is a smiling Russian. This is smile. Yes. I show teeth, yeah. And then when do I bite? No. There's no biting. Why show teeth if no bite? So look, on the face of it, Russia is trying to project a friendly image. But unfortunately, there is a dark side of their country that they can't cover up. For instance, it's been reported that gay men who are kissing in public will be reported to the police. And I'm assuming gay women kissing must report directly to Vladimir Putin. There's also been a rise in Russian fans singing racist chants, which wouldn't be a problem if y'all just kept the vuvuzelas. Oh, and as for freedom of the press, it's safe to say that you probably shouldn't say anything, as journalists from the BBC recently found out.
It is the increasingly paranoid, controlling side that's clearly there behind the makeover for the World Cup.
The whole time we've been here in Nizhny, it seems there's been somebody following us, at least one car, sometimes three.
Minutes after we met local opposition activists, there was this. The pair at the door said they'd come from state television to interview us, but we hadn't told anyone we'd be here.
Yes, we are here to do interview. Now please speak directly into microphone. Now I show teeth. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to The Daily Show. My guest tonight is an actor who stars in the Netflix series Marvel's Luke Cage. Mike Coulter! Welcome.
Thank you.
I am so excited to see season two of Luke Cage. I remember when Luke Cage first came out on Netflix, it broke Netflix.
It did. We broke Netflix. We broke the internet. We did it all.
You missed out on the conversations though, because you weren't online at the time, right?
I was not on social media, so right. I was sort of in the dark on everything. It's a new day for me now. Now I'm in social media. I get to see all the stuff you guys are sending, you know, all the animal things.
Isn't it wonderful to just tap into the stream of hatred just like anytime?
It's so yummy. It's so yummy.
Yeah.
That's
amazing. What I love about Twitter. Every day I go like, I feel good about myself. I wonder if anyone hates me. There it is. Yeah, there it is. There it is. But it's also, you also have a lot of fans, and that's what's been great about you going online, social media. You've connected with people. You found a space where you share your voice.
Yeah.
Which I find in many ways is similar to Luke Cage. What would you say? If you look at Luke Cage, the character, and yourself, mm-hmm. where do you find the most similarities?
Well, not in social media, because he does not do social media.
Right.
I would say he's a version of me that I would like to be.
Right.
You know,
in what way?
He's just, his moral compass is stronger than mine.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. I mean, the things that he doesn't do, I would do. I'll be honest with you. I would do. I would. I totally would. I have no problem telling you that if I had those powers, I would do very, very bad things. So, just know that.
Luke Cage is an interesting superhero for me because, like, he lives and operates in Harlem. Like, I like that vibe where he's just like, yeah, downtown. I don't do downtown.
No.
He's like, call Spider-Man. That's not my problem.
That's not my thing.
I fix Harlem. Is that what makes Luke Cage special? Is that, like, he really is of the world that he's from?
Yeah, you know, like you say, 110. I don't think he goes below 110.
No.
I don't think he goes above 150.
No.
And I think financially it probably works for him because, you know, Subway, it gets expensive, you know? He doesn't have a job. That's why he doesn't go below 110. It's just, he can't afford the tolls. He's stuck.
Right. And that's a different world. You've got the superhero. You've got Luke Cage, who is bulletproof. But what I really love about the character is that he's not bulletproof on the inside.
No.
You've done a great job of showing off this person who's like rock hard but a softy on the inside. Do you enjoy playing that kind of character? Because you've got that persona as a person.
Yeah, I think
voice,
so.
The everything, you know.
I think so for sure. I mean, the thing about characters like that is like what we do and what the movies don't do. We're sort of looking at the character and trying to explore the character in a longer form.
Right.
We're trying to Let's be honest. We don't have the budget to do what they do on Infinity War. We just don't.
Right.
We can't blow up buildings. You know, we can't bring in spaceships.
You can't make half the people disappear.
No, we can't do that.
You got to ask them to move. Can half of you go
half
that
way?
Half of you go that way. Go that way. We don't have the money for the glove. Just go that way. Just stand on that side.
It's expensive. Very expensive.
Yeah, but that's what's great. He's an organic character. He's different. And season two, I've heard, is going to be a lot darker. What does that mean? Where are we going with Luke Cage now?
Well, it's odd. So talking about social media and the path that Luke is on, he's sort of trying to feel out what it's like to be a superhero in this modern era with social media, the advent of that, the ever-watching eye. Everyone has a camera phone. So dealing with that, people coming up to you, asking you for things, and expecting you to know things. You know,
right.
That's the thing about leadership and the parallels that we're dealing with right now in society. To be a leader, you know, people expect you to know things, but everybody in leadership doesn't necessarily know what they're doing.
So
Luke Cage is sort of doing that right now. He's sort of learning on the fly, and he's making mistakes.
So he could be president.
He could be president.
I like that.
You see the correlation.
Thank you so much for being on the show.
Season two of Marvel's Luke Cage will be available on Netflix June 22nd. Mike Coulter, everybody.
Thank you so much.
The Daily Show with Trevor Noah, Ears Edition. Watch The Daily Show weeknights at 11, 10 Central on Comedy Central and the Comedy Central app. Watch full episodes and videos at thedailyshow.com. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And subscribe to The Daily Show on YouTube for exclusive content and more.
This has been a Comedy Central podcast.